This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
And Real Ketones Keto Energy Shots.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Oh, good! Throwback Thursday to you. It is Wake Up Call, SportsMap Radio. Thanks for joining us. You know, one of the things you got to love about any type of series, whether it's a five-game series or a seven-game series, is sometimes you like to make definitive statements early in a series, but then you have to kind of step back and wonder if it's actually going to play out. Is there going to be a wake-up call, not to use a pun, but a wake-up call for a particular team that may not have found itself, or is that team particularly in trouble? The Los Angeles Clippers in this series with Dallas, when we looked at this series before the playoffs started, said, look, the Dallas with Luka Doncic and Kristaps Porzingis, they could be a handful for the Clippers. Here's what we didn't predict, that this series would be split at 1-1. With Porzingis and Doncic both missing significant time in the second halves of games so far in this series. These are the two stars that are supposed to elevate Dallas to try to make them a competitive team in this bubble and make, you know, put them in a position where they might even make a decent run. They're that good. But Porzingis got ejected in a game one loss, and then Doncic missed a lot of the game two in the second half because he was in foul trouble. And yet, Dallas found a way to win that game yesterday, 127 to 114, utilizing its bench, getting some really good production from Trey Burks. And now this series is tied, and the Clippers, who never really found their rhythm in the bubble and still sorting some stuff out, look like they're in trouble, even though the series is tied at one. The problem is that as we go down this road, we've seen this time and time again, where a team does figure themselves out in a seven-game series and doesn't panic and then figures out what they've got to do right, and then they turn the tables. But right now, as we stand this morning, Dallas looks like a better team, and they're doing it again without a reel of full force from its two young stars. What's going to happen when these guys aren't either A, ejected, or B, in foul trouble when they play game three? And again, because there's no home court here and the confidence is building with Dallas that they can win these games when their two stars are on the court, this could be a very good series and trouble for the Clippers. More evaluation of that coming up. It's Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Now back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, this is a little bit of a twist on Throwback Thursday. We're not doing songs from the particular year that we're celebrating. We're celebrating the thing that we're celebrating on Throwback Thursday. On this date in 1920, the American Professional Football Association forms. It would become the NFL. So basically, Ron, is this happy birthday NFL day today?
Happy 100th.
Happy 100th birthday, NFL. A special day. So we're going to be playing music that celebrates football to celebrate the NFL today. Also, Nate Davis from USA Today is going to join us next hour to talk about some of the things that are going on in camp and what do you expect from the upcoming season. Excited about that. You know what? It's been kind of a muted training camp. We've been talking about this some week. We haven't felt the same, obviously, without reporters doing live shows from various camps, you know, the big programs. It feels, and because it's structured differently, right? We didn't get off with a bang in late July. There's been a transitional period, and now you're starting to see some workout film coming out, actual, you know, Tom Brady throwing the football or whatnot. There's no preseason
Gronk
games
passing
to sort
out
of,
in the heat.
Passing out in the heat. No preseason games to yap about and over-exaggerate on and things like that. But there's still camp going on, and the season is going to be starting in a couple of weeks. So we'll get Nate Davis's thoughts on some of the storylines going on. It's so interesting. The NFL was really my first love. I grew up in New Hampshire, and, you know, I liked baseball. Don't get me wrong. I went to Fenway Park my whole life. But I collected football cards before I collected baseball cards. I was a real, I think my father was just big into the Giants, and I think it kind of carried over. I became a Steelers fan at a young age because I just jumped on the bandwagon. But I learned a very valuable lesson at a young age. You pick a team at six, stay with that team all the way through for the rest of your life. You don't get to eject, you know, because the going got tough. And I picked the Steelers early in my life because they were going to the Super Bowl. They looked cool, and I liked Terry Bradshaw. But then they were not very good in the 80s, but I had to stick with them. So I stuck with them. And that's been my team my whole life. But the NFL went through a strike in 1982 and then another strike in 1980. It's amazing it's an American sport. It's really our pastime, even though it's not, baseball is kind of got the longer season and it's got the more laid back sort of relaxed game. But football is where the bread and butter is. And it's 100 years old today. So happy birthday, National Football League. With all of the ups and downs that it's had, it's still
been marching along,
We'll see what this season lays out for it, but I was happy for them when the draft went off the way it did. I mean, it would have been cooler had it been in Vegas with all the fun, but it went off and they did it right. And now we've got a season upcoming. Who knows what it's going to look like? I am done predicting these things. I have no clue if the virus is going to kill it, destroy it, or have no effect at all. I have no idea what the season is going to look like.
Isn't it weird? I mean, we don't really care about preseason games. They kind of become mundane. You only see your stars for a drive, maybe a quarter.
Right.
But I really wish we had at least one preseason game.
Yeah.
This is what it would look like. Inching closer, it's like, oh, man, I wish we had. Because we'd be having preseason games this coming weekend.
I think we talked about this when they canceled it. And we said, look, guys, I know we always complain about it, but we'd miss it. We're going to miss it when it's not around.
Yeah.
I mean, look, we have a sports calendar now that's very full with some really exciting stuff. I mean, there was a walk-off grand slam for the Padres yesterday.
They apologized, by the way.
Yeah, right? Said, oh, yeah, we didn't mean to win the game on you. Sorry.
Again.
I'm sorry.
Third grand slam in 3 days, by the way.
It's unreal. And Matt Carpenter, the Cardinals, had a grand slam in the first inning in his game against the Cubs in a doubleheader.
But he didn't apologize.
No, not at all.
Cardinals don't apologize to Cubs.
His manager probably didn't throw him under the bus for hitting one. Oh, I'm sorry we started the game off with a bang. We really wanted to be competitive, but... Yeah, whatnot. But you've got, the NBA playoffs, you've got the NHL playoffs, which I'm not paying as much attention to, but everybody I know who does is saying, this is mind-boggling good how the games are. Tampa Bay scored like a goal with like a minute and a half left in their game and then won it in overtime and eliminated their opponent in the series. You got the Bruins advancing. There's a lot of good stuff going on in sports, but forget that for a quick second. If we had preseason football, this country, we'd be leaning the conversation in who's got what and what, who looks good over, analyzing these preseason games because we do it all the time, but we don't have them. And I kind of miss them. I mean, I complain about them as much as the next guy, but at the same time, now that they're gone, I feel like we haven't got a warm up yet for the season. We're used to it in college football, but we're not used to it in the NFL. When the NFL kicks off, we've kind of had a whole month of training camp reports and injuries and preseason and who made the team and who didn't make the team. That's the fun part about being a fan when you really follow your team really well in preseason. It's not like with the Steelers. It's not Ben Roethlisberger, how'd he do? Who cares? He's going to be fine for the season. It's we need safety help, and this young guy did pretty well, or this young guy's made the team, or this young guy is really making an impact. Those kind of things that we do as fans, we're not getting to do because the information is few and far between, and we don't have anything to really watch until the season actually starts. Will it be more interesting? Yeah, you could say that, but it's not what we're doing. But the NFL is such a king in this country that if we had preseason games, I guarantee you a lot of people would be discussing the upcoming season more than NBA playoff woes or NHL playoff situation or what's going on in baseball because football rules and it's 100 years old today.
And it's one of those things, I mean, usually this time of the year we're previewing each team, but I mean, there's so much little information coming out right now. Yeah, I don't even know how beat writers are doing it.
Yeah, it's got to be tough because, listen,
when you're on a beat team, when you're like, you cover like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, for example, there's a lot of stories you could write about Brady, but you're supposed to kind of fill the paper with all sorts of things, right? You're supposed to fill the paper with, all right, here's a running back from South Florida that's trying to make the team as an undrafted free agent. He's a local kid, grew up loving the Bucs, and he's trying to make – you're supposed to find those stories.
Keep an eye on X player.
Right, and it's got to be hard because – access is limited. They're really controlling what, you know, how much, where you are and what you're seeing and talking to people and social distancing. You can still get the work done, but it is not as easy as pre-COVID when you were, you'd walk around with your badge and just talk to people as they were walking off the field. You just grab a guy and be like, hey, can I get you for 5 minutes? Yeah, let's go over here in the corner and yap.
Go in the shade.
Yeah, exactly. So the Broncos used to have a guy and he still, he was, They kind of funny put a cutout of him, but there was a guy that at Broncos camp who was like famous for yelling at the media to step back. That was his job. His job was to yell, and everybody has gotten yelled at this by this guy at least once or twice or many times in their time covering the Broncos. And that was his gig. And that's kind of how the media knew him. Like, he was just one of the security guys, and he was in charge of making – he would go, step back, step behind the line, because you would – as you cover the game or practice, you would just creep, not even knowing that you were doing it. You would just creep closer and closer to the action. And he would just scream. Now they kind of jokingly put a cutout at Dove Valley of him because there's no media on the field and they're not being allowed the same level of access. And that does hurt how we are getting stuff from NFL camps. Again, Titans are working out here in Nashville and it's just B-roll. It's not the same feeling of camp that's gone on at St. Vincent's for years and years.
No, in fact, I mean, the only storylines you're really going to get right now are major storylines. Like if somebody was to get injured and go down, like, he might, you know, might miss the season.
Exactly.
But if that's not happening, we're not, I mean, yeah, we're just getting inundated with, you know, how Belichick might go with the quarterback platoon. Well, what does that really mean? I mean, who are the platoon guys? Are there two, is just the two of them? Is there three? We have no clue.
By the way, I heard Jarrett Stidham threw a couple of picks in practice the other day. I wonder how much they love him now, after one day, throwing some picks.
Nah, he's just trying to show off Belichick's defense.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. But look, they, you know, in 100 years, they've turned their, you know, obviously the AFL and the NFL and the merger and then the Super Bowl and what that has become from, you know, the NFL championship game, the game that just determines the champion, to an international sporting event that, you know, fills the world. I mean, it's watched around the world in many countries. It's a kind of a national holiday, and that's what it's become. More so than any other one individual, you know, all these other championships are determined by series, but even like the NCAA basketball championship on that Monday night, it has no level, has not even the same level of national impact as the Super Bowl does. And that's a great creation by the NFL. The NFL has made that game a must-see for people who don't even follow the sport. That is really difficult to do. It's to be honest with you, it's almost impossible to do. To take an event, you know, one-time event and turn it into a, you better be near somebody or around somebody even if you don't follow football. That's what it's been able to do in this country. So happy birthday. That's our Throwback Thursday. All right, coming up, we'll get more analysis from what we had in the NBA playoffs yesterday, including Dallas's win against the Clippers and what it means for Los Angeles. We'll also talk about the Sixers being in trouble and the Celtics going up 2-0 as we continue along. If you want to hit us up on Twitter, we'd love to hear from you. At Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, that's Ron with two N's. Hey, one of the biggest changes we're dealing with is wearing a mask. Not all offer the same comfort and protection. I recommend Boomer Naturals, the three-layer, comfortable, and highly breathable masks. They come in sizes for adults, teens, children, in stock now, shipped to you fast. And the nano silver technology, it's woven into the fabric. It can block those tiny drops and particles from getting to the nose and mouth, and that's what we want right now, the best protection. Boomer also offers popular nano silver neck gaiters, so order now at BoomerNaturals.com. Use the promo code Tony and save 20%. That's promo code Tony at BoomerNaturals.com. Get free shipping and handling when you spend at least $50 online at BoomerNaturals.com. It is Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.
Introducing AutomotiveMap.com, a website for anyone interested in the automotive world. Whether you want to check out the latest auto news, read reviews on the newest vehicles, see some vintage rides, or get tips to keeping your family safe on the road, AutomotiveMap.com has something for you. If you love cars, trucks, SUVs, and the amazing technology hitting the showroom, then head over to automotivemap.com. That's automotivemap.com.
Call. Now back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Tony B and Ron Culver.
This is the terrible song for the Steelers to celebrate the 100th anniversary of the NFL today. This is a bad one. This is from the 2005 season when they went to Detroit.
This is the original Here We Go.
Yeah.
Now, I could have grabbed other versions, but you always got to go with the original.
Yeah, this was atrocious. But the Steeler polka is worse. The home of the Super Bowl team. It's a little quirky. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. This sounds like a fan won a contest putting something together in his house.
My favorite line is the cower tower or something like that.
It's terrible. It's atrocious. They could come up with a better one.
I mean,
the late Myron Cope, you know, he's the one that invented the terrible towel. Like, he should have also come up with, like, a really good fight song for the team. So, but we are celebrating the NFL. It's a Throwback Thursday. NFL 100 years old today. So, happy birthday. National Football League. Michael on Twitter, baseball was my first love after watching the 75 World Series as a five-year-old. Football made a hard charge when I watched Super Bowl XII with Dallas and Denver. I was a huge Cowboys fan, but converted to the Patriots in 84 to close the Boston loop. Yeah, good choice, because that Patriots choice paid off for you big time. Well, more than the Cowboys did after 1986.
I was thinking about this when you said you've been a Steelers fan as long as you can remember, right? I grew up, when I was younger, I was a Niners fan because the Niners were winning, and I lived in the northern part of Central California. So San Francisco was my team. But as soon as I moved to Southern California, where, you know, my choices were Rams, Raiders, Chargers, the Rams and Raiders took off and left me with the Chargers, and I became a Chargers fan, and just much like you, endured some really troubling times. And that's and I can say that, you know, with all the success that we did have later on, and, you know, competitive teams, although we still haven't been to a Super Bowl, we haven't won one, you know, but I was a Chargers fan. I was excited that the Chargers got Ryan Leaf and not Peyton Manning.
Yeah, no
doubt. I'm one of those guys.
Yeah, one of those guys. Sure, that was like a legitimate debate.
Yeah.
It seems crazy now, but it really was. There were people.
I don't need that. What has Peyton Manning proved yet?
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, exactly. Couldn't beat Danny Werfel in Florida. Yeah, it makes him think he's going to win games in the NFL.
The size of Ryan Leaf. Look at that arm. It's going to run circles around Peyton.
Oh, I know. No, that was. I mean, it's so weird to talk about that. Like, you know, we. I remember interviewing Ryan Leaf at the Super Bowl, and we talked about that. And it's like, you know, people forget that was a legit debate.
That was a huge debate.
Argument people were having about whether or not you should take Ryan Leaf or Peyton Manning. You know, and getting Ryan Leaf, as the Chargers ended up with, people were like, well, they probably got the right guy. Right? So, yeah, no doubt. But, yeah, it was a hard lesson as a kid, and it's one, you know, it's because you like your team winning, right? When you're young, you want to root for your team winning.
You want to root for the winner.
You don't want to be, you know, mired in crap. You want to root for a team that's winning. And so for me, catching the Steelers at Super Bowl 14 when they beat the Rams, and then not seeing them go to the Super Bowl again until 1996, like, I had no idea that's what I was in for. I mean, they had a good run in 84. They made it to the AFC Championship game, losing to the Dolphins. That was when Mark Malone was their quarterback. And then in 89, they made a run losing to Elway and the Broncos. But it was slim pickings as far as success in the 80s. And I had to stick with them. Like, I couldn't just go, no, I like the Redskins now. They're winning. They're going to the Super Bowl. Or the Niners. Like, I couldn't do that. I had to stay. But I had friends who were Patriot fans. And Michael brings this up in 84. Like, I had friends who grew up Patriot fans. And Patriots weren't that good, like, when I was a kid. And then they made this real incredible run to Super Bowl 20. And there were two identifiers in that run. They were a wild card team, and they beat the Jets and the Raiders, and then they beat the Dolphins. And they
who should have went to the Super Bowl.
Who should have went to the Super Bowl. And there was they were T-shirts and stuff that said Squish the Fish. And everybody was like wearing Squish the Fish. And it was a great victory. And I remember feeling really happy for my friends. We all knew the Bears were really good. And they tried to give us Berry the Bears because Raymond Berry was the coach. And so it was B-E-R-R-Y the Bears. But there, I didn't, at least in my area of the country, I'm sure it was similar around New England at the time. None of my friends believed the Patriots would win the game. Like right. To them, it was, they were just really excited. They beat a really good Dolphins team in Miami in the playoffs to go to their first Super Bowl, but kind of knowing it was going to be inevitable that the Bears would win. I mean, I don't remember one of my friends saying that the Patriots had a chance. I think they were all hoping for a good game and maybe luck would occur, but that was where that is.
But it is funny how, you know, our view of the Patriots versus, say, our kids' view of the Patriots.
Oh, no doubt.
You know,
absolutely.
I mean, even in Boston or all throughout New England, they probably had a similar thing where, you know, our generation, our age group up there remember the Patriots. I mean, they were the laughingstock.
If
you had a video game and you were playing your favorite team, you chose the Steelers, I choose the Chargers, we would purposely choose the Patriots because we knew, like, we can get a win.
Yeah. Do you think the young kids in New England, like, are sick of their dad going, yeah, well, you didn't put up with Rod Rust as head coach. Like, the Dick McPherson era didn't exactly work out well for us. Like, do you think they get tired of, like, hearing those kind of...
Probably.
Like, I mean, all the times they went down to Schaefer Stadium and watched them lose and...
Old man sitting there saying, ah, the only redeeming quality about the Patriots was that Minuteman.
Yeah, exactly. Because these kids, like, we have been so amazed that for 20 years they dominated the division in the AFC with Brady and Belichick. Like, that's a kid growing up, going through high school, going to college, and maybe starting his career and never knowing the team being lousy at all.
Yeah.
At all. At any point during the 20-year span. Catches it at, let's say, 5, right? Brady's first Super Bowl win. He's like 5 or 6. The house is buzzing. He doesn't really know why. Then he kind of understands what this is, then jumps on the team, buys the jersey, watches them every year. 20 years later, he's got kids of his own, and he's never experienced the team suffering a bad loss or being terrible.
Or it's like my oldest. My oldest became a Saints fan. Because when we were younger, somebody had given him for a birthday present. Somebody had given him a Saints jersey, Drew Brees Saints jersey, and that was his. You know, he wore it all the time, and he became a Saints fan. He doesn't know them as the Aints.
Yeah, right. Right.
I mean, that's how you know. I mean, ever since Drew Brees got there, the Saints have been successful. You know, making the playoffs or making being competitive all the way through, made a Super Bowl, won a Super Bowl. You and I, growing up, like, they were the Aints, you know, the Archie Manning days. Come on, they weren't
bags
anything.
Over their heads, yeah, exactly. I remember, like, older people in my life having to remind me that Archie Manning was a really good quarterback. Because I was like, he plays on a team that doesn't win at all.
Yeah, how is he good?
He's terrible. They're wearing paper. How can he be good? They're like, no, Archie Manning
still struggle
is the real
with that.
Deal. He's like a god in Oxford, Mississippi. You don't understand. He's like... He's amazing. And it's like, well, really? Because they're not. They're look at the fans. They're terrible. I still
struggle with the fact. Like, how did Archie produce Peyton and Eli?
Yeah.
Like, you know, I mean, you got to understand. Like, when you have a son who, or you know, you have a great player. Say like Mike Trout. Mike Trout's an awesome baseball player. Say his son grows up to be an incredible baseball player. That would make all the sense in the world to us.
Sure.
You know, or like right now, we saw Charlie Woods dominate a junior golf event.
Shooting 3 under par.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, but for us, I mean, yeah, Archie, I guess, was a good quarterback, but it was like, well, he didn't win anything.
Right. I know. To me, again, I'm collecting football cards when I was a kid. It was like the Saints were atrocious.
Yeah, you got an Archie Manning card. You're like, oh, man.
Yeah. Is it? I want to throw this out on Twitter because my favorite set of football cards in my life, the ones that I loved, the ones I traded with my friends, I think were the 78 Tops set. And now that I'm older and I've got a little bit of disposable income, would it be wrong if I bought a complete set of those?
No.
To put in a book and just be like flipping through. I mean, I don't, you know, whatever it costs, a couple $100. I don't know. Maybe it's $1,000. Who knows?
Well, if it's that much,
maybe
you've
crazy.
Gone to extreme.
But because it's such an important part. Like, that version of the card And I collected cards after that, but there was one particular set that I just adored. I like loved. I kept in boxes, shoe boxes, and again, always got in trouble in school for trading with my friends during class in second grade. Sorry, Mrs. LeBron. But it was, you know, that, so I'm wondering if I should, you know, make the move and be like, yeah, it's one of those, you know, midlife crisis purchases, I guess. All right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, Ron with 2N, Sports Map Radio.
Wake up call. Now back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, San Diego Superchargers celebrating the 100th anniversary of the NFL today. Yeah. Happy birthday, NFL. This is much better than the Steelers.
They're not LA. Sorry.
Yeah.
There is an LA Chargers song. I gladly skipped over it. Because you know what? No fans watch them. No fans listen.
Yeah, it doesn't have the same feel as San Diego Superchargers, like L.A. Chargers. Nah, never mind. Listen up, sports bettors. Tony D here telling you about one of my favorite sports books. That's BetUS. Football, basketball, baseball, all back. It means time to get down your bets. Now, listen, I tell you about the best because BetUS.com is the best. Why? Because it's a pioneer in online betting, more than 25 years in the biz. You need a sports book with integrity, longevity, and you need to know you're going to get paid. You need a sports book that offers everything, including live betting, MMA, golf, horses, esports, all kinds of crazy bets. Call today 1-800-MY-BET-US. It's 1-800-MY-BET-US, and they'll walk you through getting started. Nobody in the industry gives you bigger bonuses than BetUS. They got a good one here. Mention Sports Map Radio, and you can get up to 150% in bonuses on your first deposit. Nobody beats that. 25 years in the biz, the best bonuses. BetUS should be your sports book. Join today. Call 1-800-MY-BETUS or go to betus.com. Remember to mention Sports Map Radio to get that bonus. So, are the Clippers in trouble? They lose game two. Luka Doncic's missing a lot of the fourth quarter after getting into foul trouble. Kristaps Porzingis missed a lot of game one after getting ejected. So, when the Mavericks got both of these guys on the floor and they're not being either ejected or in foul trouble, I mean, this is a 1-1 series, and Dallas should have won game one. And now all of a sudden, the Clippers, who can't really find themselves and find their rhythm, could be in trouble in a series. Now, remember, they were kind of according to a couple of sports books, they were one of the favorites, if not the favorite, to win the NBA championship. But they're still sorting out some issues. Now, the problem is that they've run into two things that are problematic for an opening series. They've run into a Dallas Mavericks team that's got two young superstars that are very good. One is one of the best players in the league, and the other one is right there with them. Two, they're playing in an environment where they're playing every other day, and there's no home court advantage. Again, we talk about this a lot with series. The thing about a seven-game series is adjustments. You can get blown out, you can come back, bounce back. I'll give you a perfect example. I've mentioned it many times. Memorial Day Massacre, 1985. Celtics-Lakers, NBA Finals, Game 1, Boston over Los Angeles, 148-114. But the Lakers made the adjustment, got the split in that series, and won it in six. That happens in series all the time. If you're going to lose, you could lose by 100. Nobody, as long as you know why you lost and what you need to fix. Maybe shots just aren't dropping. Maybe you need to make a defensive adjustment. Maybe you need to make a complete overhaul. We can't read a lot into games and series because we've seen that example that I gave you in 85. There are multiple examples of that in the history of the NBA playoff series where a team gets blown out or loses game one or figures it out. If the Clippers figure it out, and I mean with Kawhi and Paul George, would they figure it out? I still think the Mavericks are going to be a problem for them. I still think they're a little bit in trouble. And here's the thing. Listen, I'm not a Clippers fan by any means, but you look at that organization and I kind of feel for the organization. They're always going to be second fiddle to the Lakers in that city. They're never going to take that city over. They had forever and a day one of the worst owners in the history of sports before he's forced to sell the team. They're trying to change their image. They're trying to change who they are. They're trying to not be the sort of... Remember when the Clippers were the cheapest team in basketball for decades? Remember they had all these number one picks and they'd blow them out and they wouldn't do anything with them? And they had a brief period of time, I think, when Danny Manning was playing for them, they were okay. But they're always going to be second fiddle in the city. This is not, they share the city, like the Cubs and the White Sox, north side, south side, or where the Mets and the Yankees, where certain boroughs are more inclined to go with the Mets and others, you know, go with the Yankees. This is not that in Clippers Lakerland. It is Lakers first, second, and third, and the Clippers maybe fifth, you know, in the list of importance in terms of basketball. But they have a chance to at least present themselves and say, okay, we know we're not the Lakers, but we did win a championship, or we are going far in the playoffs, or we did beat the Lakers in this bubble environment in the playoffs. Whatever it is, they have a chance to do that. They've just run into the worst kind of first round opponent, an opponent that is way better than their seeding, and again with young superstars that can take over a game. Right, I mean, Doncic again had 28 last night, and he was out for a lot of the fourth. He was out a lot of crunch time. I think he suffered his fifth foul with about 11 minutes left. Came in with a couple of minutes to go. And here was the great thing about the way Dallas won that game. Now, when Doncic gets in foul trouble and has to leave, you are now saying, okay, here you go. Here's your opportunity. But the Clippers couldn't take advantage of it. Dallas actually extended their lead with Doncic on the bench, I'm sorry, because Trey Burke scored 16. Seth Curry had 15, right? I mean, they got bench work. And that's going to be a problem if that trend continues and the Clippers don't find out who they are. They you know, Dallas shot 50% from the floor. The Clippers struggled from three. They struggled defensively. They had 15 turnovers. I mean, it's not just a bad game. As I said earlier, there are plenty of bad games for everybody in a playoff series. I don't think Milwaukee is going to be as bad as they were in game one against Orlando. This is one of the truisms of series. This is sometimes you get a stinker. But for the Clippers, it's more than just a stinker. They've got a real fight on their hands here. Again, they're playing a young team that's confident and a young team that's built around two very good young guys. And as I said earlier, Doncic is one of the best players in the league. He's not one of the up-and-coming superstars you better be paying attention to. He's 21, and he's already one of the better players in the league. This is a problem for the Clippers. People really liked Dallas going into this because, again, of the nature of the way they play and the nature of what the schedule is going to be like. The one other factor that happens, especially in first rounds, is that why you don't get the sort of sustainability if you could pull off a game one upset is that there's just too much time in the first round, and the better team figures it out because they have a lot of time to figure it out. As I said, been saying this week, one of the big jokes that we have is how far apart the games are in the first round series under normal conditions. Game one on Wednesday, game two on Saturday, game three on Tuesday, right? Because of television. Well, when you throw that out and you're playing every other day, you better be in the film room figuring out exactly what you need to adjust. And you better do it quick. And there is no feeling of, again, flight. Let's go home and calm down, or whatever it may be. Now, in this situation, if this had played out exactly the way it did, would do at the Staples Center, then they would be going back to Dallas in a little bit of trouble. They'd be going to Dallas for games three and four in trouble. But they're in trouble now. And again, when they made the move to get Kawhi Leonard, and Kawhi picked the Clippers, and Paul George, you know, he joins up with Paul George and they create this team. What was the big feeling? Like, okay, there's a dawning here of a franchise that is trying to turn its image around. They wanted to be known as the LA Clippers, not the Los Angeles Clippers, right? Steve Ballmer's got a ton of money. The cheapness of the team is gone. And all of a sudden, every bit of work that they've put into sort of saying this is our year is going to be thwarted by this Dallas team. If they don't figure it out, they're going to be going home from this bubble in the first round, and those same Clipper conversations will keep having over and over again. And I think you, if you're in the marketing department of the Clippers, Clipper tickets were for people who couldn't afford Laker tickets and wanted to just see basketball, right? But you're trying to change that. You're trying to say, look, can we get some people that will grow up in this town liking the Clippers? Maybe just because they're rebellious, or maybe because we're a better team. Maybe they had no attachment to the Lakers and they just wanted to. We'll find those people. We're not necessarily selling just to go, hey, isn't it fun when Giannis comes to town? You can buy a 10-pack, right? That's what they're trying to do. And yet, here's a Dallas team that's really outplayed them in two games. And I know its series is split, but the Porzingis ejection really did change Dallas in that game. The 11 turnovers did affect Dallas in game one. And they got Doncic on the bench in the fourth quarter, and they still pull off this victory. I mean, this wasn't just a squeaky clean win. This was a 13-point victory, and did it and pulled away in the fourth quarter. Right? The third quarter more than so the fourth, but that period in the second half where they turned a 3-point lead into a 13-point lead, and that's where it stayed. Now, in the other series, you've got Utah and Denver, and I've always thought that was a very close matchup. Utah won the game because Donovan Mitchell continues to score a lot of points for the Jazz. Nuggets didn't play very good at all. Boston is beating a Philadelphia team that they should beat, even though Gordon Hayward is out. They lead that series 2-0. Toronto leads Brooklyn 2-0. But the series that right now that's got the most intrigue is this Mavericks-Clippers series. Now, let me tell you this. If Portland wins game two against the Lakers tonight, right, then we'll be really buzzing about that one, because how much of the Lakers they're still in that mode too, of finding their role and who they are in this bubble, even though a lot of their games during this 8-game regular season were nothing but, let's finish this thing out. We got the number one seed. Who cares? Let's, sit LeBron James. We don't have to play him a ton. But if Damian Lillard in Portland is up 2-0 without a trip back to the Staples Center to get some home cooking, they could be in trouble too.
Don't you get the feeling, though, I mean, after watching Mavericks Clippers, that all these games might actually go the distance?
It depends. I mean, it depends.
What I mean by this is that a lot of times, the fans, the crowd can generate that extra enthusiasm or that extra motivation that these players need, and you're not going to get it. I just feel like since it's all on a neutral court, anything's a go.
Oh, no doubt. Absolutely. Listen, I would love to watch American Airlines Arena with the Mavericks in game three, if this is how it would have played out under normal conditions. For them to have played this well, earning the split, but knowing, like, if you're a Dallas fan, knowing, man, we could be up 2-0. We are playing really good. And we have had a number of circumstances that have affected us, and that Clippers team doesn't look good at all. To be home for game three with a split in Los Angeles, it would have been electric. You're right. Without that factor in, you don't know where these series are heading. You don't know where it's going. I mean, who benefits from a short schedule? Who benefits from neutral courts, right? I mean, those questions.
Right now, it just depends on, which team came out or had a better warm-up.
Right.
Basically, right. I can't knock the players for not having the drive to want to win, but it is just kind of funny. Like, okay, you know what? We're just going to flip a coin. Basically, because you can't feed off the crowd. I mean, there's no home court advantage. There's no team that, like the other night when the Lakers were playing against the Blazers and the Lakers were making a run, the crowd could have done something.
That's the problem.
It could have distracted the Blazers. Could have distracted Dame from producing as much as he did. But since it's a neutral court, it's just like, hey, who's got the better basketball game tonight?
Look at the Nuggets Jazz series, right? I mean, Mike Malone, the head coach of the Nuggets, said right afterwards, he goes, look, we didn't play well. Look, their players played well, we didn't. That was basically his analysis of game two. That's all really he needs, right? He just like, well, we'll just go, go back to, we'll come back and not play, we'll play better. Let's see what happens. There isn't a feeling like, oh, they got a split. We're going to Utah. That's a tough place to play, right? It's difficult to play.
You don't have that.
You don't have that. You just have coaches going, we didn't hit the three, but we'll hit the three tomorrow.
Yeah.
Or the next day or whatever it is, right?
Well, we got a split. It's a series.
Whatever. We'll have to play better. We'll have to hit our shots. We didn't hit our shots today. We'll have to hit our shots. But you're right. The added environment of, I'll give you a perfect example. Remember when they upset Dallas in the first round, like in 06 or something?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the Dallas players, and I think if I'm not mistaken, it was a best of five series back then. But Oracle Arena was, for an eight seed to top a one, Oracle Arena was deafeningly loud. And it was. It was one of those arenas. Even when the glory days of the Warriors a couple years ago, it was a deafening place. It was a hard, hard place to play. It was, and Mavericks players talked about it, how much that affected them. They got trapped in the series and lost at home, and then they went to Oakland, and the crowd was crazy nuts. And that was an 8-seeded Warriors team that had the full backing of its fan support, and it was difficult. We grew up Lakers-Celtics, where the Forum and the Garden were, I mean, impossible places to win for road teams, right? And if they did, it was like a miracle, right? I mean, I remember ML Carr stealing a ball in one of the playoff series against the Lakers, and they won. It was like, oh, my God, you don't win at the Forum. It was like nuts. And then to see like Magic Johnson's baby Skyhook winning at the Garden, those were tough places to play. You lose that element in this bubble, so series become series. All right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, that's Ron with two N's, continuing along with Wake Up Call.
It's a Throwback Thursday on Wake Up Call. Now back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Tony D and Ron Culver.
Thanks for joining us. Nate Davis, USA Today book. Next hour, we'll talk NFL with him. So as we celebrate 100 years of the NFL, happy birthday today, 1920. The American Professional Football Association formed. It became the NFL. Super Bowl Shuffle, 19 out of the Bears. How great was that fun little
game? That was fantastic.
Never they put been... it out when they were really killing everybody.
Yeah. Never been duplicated.
No. Could you do that today with a team that was that confident they would win the Super Bowl?
Ooh. I don't think so.
Because I think you'd kind of go, oh, you'll jump in the gun a little bit. They made that during the season and was like, we don't care.
Well, we don't really have a fun team like that, right?
Yeah, we're the best team. We got the fridge and Peyton and this wild quarterback that is a rebel and one of the best defenses you'll ever see, and we're killing our opponents. Yeah, we're going to win the Super Bowl. And if you want to try to stop us because you won't be able to. God bless the Bears. That was a great team. It was one of the best teams ever in the history of the league.